scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our testimony. God, that because you have risen, we will rise with you, that your kingdom is eternal, and that nothing can ever touch it, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you have welcomed us in this place. Lord, I pray that in this moment, as I preach, as I lead, I pray, God, that you make me open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, do what you alone can do. God, because no matter what words I give, it is only you that can provide the growth. It is you who provides the strength. It is you who does what I cannot. So, Lord, my faith is in you in this moment. Just lead me, make me obedient, Jesus. I trust you. This is the name of Christ that I pray. Amen. You can be seated. So, I want to tell you something about myself, all right? I like steak. Weird way to start off a sermon, but follow with me, all right? I like steak. Steak is probably my favorite food other than pretty much anything you can get at Thai Smile. All right? So a well-cooked steak is just awesome, all right? So my wife and I, every once in a while, probably about once a year, we go to this restaurant in Lexington called Malone's. Now, if you've ever been to Malone's, you know why we only go once a year. It's not cheap. My wife is a teacher and I'm a preacher. I can't afford that, all right? So we go once a year on special occasions. And the reason why we go there is because it has what is, in my opinion, the best steak ever. I go and I get myself an 8-ounce filet mignon, cooked medium with a big old loaded baked potato on the side. Woo! Son, right? Now, all you Trainer Joe people hate me right now, okay? I love you. I'm sorry, but I want you to stick with me with this, all right? I promise I'm going somewhere. So let's just say one day I'm like, hey, why don't you come with Kayla and me to Malone's? Why don't you come with me? Because I've told you about this steak. I've told you how good it is. And I want you to try it for yourself, right? So we go to Malone's. We sit down. Been having a good time. The steaks come out. We get all excited. And so let's just say that instead of me picking up my knife and fork and just cutting and diving right into this steak, I do this instead. I pick it up off the plate and I look at it and I just go, and I just put it right back on the plate. I just lick it. And I'm like, man, that's a good steak. That is the best cooked steak I've ever had. I am full. Give me the check. Now, you'd be like, sir, you got a steak, man. Like, eat the steak, right? Like, what are you doing? You would rightfully look at me like I was absolutely insane if I did that, right? It'd be crazy. So in these past few months, we have been doing a series called Bells, a model for kingdom living. And that Bells, it stands for bless 2 people a week, eat with 2 people a week, listen to the Holy Spirit, learn Jesus in the Gospels, and be a sent person who journals about the way they have seen the kingdom of God move around them, right? And how we have joined him in that. And we have actually taken that model and we have made it our own, and that is the Hope Arrow. That's the model we have moved to. The Hope Arrow means have spiritual conversations, open the scriptures and learn about Christ, specifically in the Gospels, pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, eat with people 2 times a week, and then go as a sent person who blesses other people, right? Now, the reason why we have spent so much time on this series and unpacking this model is because when it comes to the kingdom of God, unfortunately, far too many of us within the church are more than content with just a seasoning of the kingdom when God wants to give you steak. We are far too content with just a little flavoring of the kingdom when God's got a meal for you. And like, I don't know about you, but throughout this series, we have seen incredible fruit come from this. Some of you all have taken this model and you've begun to apply it to your lives and you're just like, man, this is what the steak, like this is the steak, this is awesome. Like some of you all have started new ministries. You're gonna hear about one of those later. We're starting new ministries because the Holy Spirit has laid on you to do that. Some of you all have had conversations with your coworkers that you've never had before. Some of you all have been welcoming your neighbors into your home and you've been going to your neighbors' homes and you've been blessing them and loving on them. And you're just sitting there thinking, well, why was I ever content with just the seasoning of the kingdom when God was wanting me to have the meal? And like, that's what happens when you put the kingdom first. And some of y'all are doing that and you're seeing the fruit from it and it's awesome. But some of us in here, I know we're still maybe even a little bit confused about this model. We're even, maybe even feeling a little overwhelmed because when we give you this model, you're just, maybe you're starting to think, well, I don't have time to do this. Like, how do I add this to my schedule? How do I make this work for my life? And so there's just this confusion and there's this unease that's been following you as we've been walking through this series. And so today we're actually going to wrap up this series. We're going to close it out. And as we close it out, my prayer is that hopefully I will be able to clarify a few things. I'll be able to clarify the goal of this model and the process of this model so that you can leave here saying, all right, I am done with kingdom seasoning. I'm ready for the steak. I'm ready for the meal. So first of all, let's look at where the confusion comes from. Let's look at those scriptures again real quick. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All right. So that is the Great Commission. And we have unpacked that scripture quite a bit throughout this series. We've looked at that passage a lot. And so as we look at it today, I believe that we find where the confusion comes from. Because if we are feeling confused or overwhelmed, I believe that we have done two things wrong that's created this. And so the two things that we have done, first is we have oversimplified the goal of kingdom living while overcomplicating the process of kingdom living. We have oversimplified the goal and we have overcomplicated the process. So let's talk about what I'm trying to get around here, okay? So first of all, the first thing that we've done, we've oversimplified the goal of kingdom living. So in verse 19, it says, go therefore and do what? Make disciples. Good job. Here is what that does not say. Go therefore and make converts. Doesn't say that. It says, go make disciples. So, like, it does not say, just go and bring people to faith in Jesus. So here is where we have oversimplified the goal. We think that the whole goal, everything that we're working for, is simply to bring people to faith in Christ, that they become saved and believers, and then we drop them off at the church. Now, here's what, I don't want you to leave here thinking this, all right? I don't want you to leave here going like, man, Logan's pants are way too tight today and they are cutting off circulation to his brain because he doesn't want people to get saved. It's not what we're saying at all. Obviously, we want people to get saved. Obviously, we need people to get saved. Obviously, we want people who are dead in their sins and condemned to eternal hell to know the life-freeing, life-giving power of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended to the throne. Of course we want that. That is the goal. So don't you hear me say that that's not the goal. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give an invitation later today for those of you who may not have given your life to Christ yet. So please don't hear me say that's not the goal. Obviously, that's the goal. What I am saying is that is not the whole goal. It's not the whole goal. That's an oversimplified goal. The goal is to make disciples. And a disciple of Christ is not just someone who comes to faith in Jesus, but someone who then begins to conform their own life around, about, and for Jesus. And the scriptures prove this. This proves this. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the first half of discipleship, right? That's the conversion side. That's the salvation side. That is the side where people come to faith in Christ and then publicly declare through baptism that they have died to their sin, that they have been buried with Christ, and now they have been risen with Christ and are alive to God in Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's the first part of it. But it doesn't stop there. We tend to stop there, but the scripture continues. Look at verse 20. It goes on to say, teaching them. Teach them. Church, remember, Jesus Christ did not come just to give us eternal life. He came to give us abundant life. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life more abundant. Life to the full. And so we are not simply just saying that we want to get people saved. We are saying we want to see people come to Christ, and then we want to join them and walk alongside of them and train them so that they can then model their own lives around the kingdom of God. And the problem is if we settle, and it sounds weird to say settle, but if we're settling to just say we just want to get them saved, then guys, we're settling for kingdom seasoning and not the meal. The meal is walking alongside of them, teaching them, growing them, watching them grow in their faith in Christ. And so we have oversimplified the goal. The goal is not simply to see people just come to faith in Jesus. The goal is to see disciples be made. We want to see people come to faith in Christ and then model their own lives around, about, and for Christ. That is the whole goal. So the question then becomes, well, why have we oversimplified it? Why have we done this? Why have we kind of cut it in half? Well, I believe that the reason why we have done that, the reason why we've oversimplified the whole goal is because of the second thing that we've done. We've oversimplified the goal because we have way overcomplicated the process. We have oversimplified the goal because we think the process is just too difficult. Because when we read that command, teaching them, let me tell you what the enemy wants to do. Well, you can't do that. You don't know the Bible. You're not good enough in your conversations for you to start teaching people about Jesus. You're not a pastor. And so then what we do is we believe it. And so we think, okay, well, I can't do this. I can't teach people and I can't train people in this way. So what we do then is that we look to the church to create all kinds of programs and all kinds of ministries that will disciple people while we just come on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings and let the pastors, the trained professionals, do the heavy lifting and making disciples. We begin to think that this is so, like, we have oversimplified the goal because we think the process is so complicated that we just simply cannot do it. And so we look to the pastors and say, it's only the pastors can do this. Or worse, we say only the pastors should do this. Now, I don't want you to hear me say that it is not the church or the pastor's job to train and make disciples. Obviously, that's the job. Of course, that's what we're doing. Of course, that's what we want to do. And here at Hope Church, we take that very, very seriously. How many pastors and worship leaders and youth pastors and missionaries have we sent out from this church? Because we take seriously the call to make disciples and to teach. So don't hear me say that that's not the church's job. Here's what I'm saying, is that we have relied on church to be the only source of making disciples. And church, that's just plain wrong. We have oversimplified the goal because we have way overcomplicated the process. But guys, if you look in the scriptures, this verse itself actually tells you that it's really not that hard. Because look at it, it says, and you got to read it closely, okay? It says, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Wait, that's not what it says. It says teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That word for observe is to means to conform your life around, to shape your life around something. So he's saying teach them to shape their lives around the kingdom of God. That's what that command means. So how do we do that? Church, it is as simple as you shaping your own life around the kingdom of God. When we shape our own lives around the kingdom of God, we show the world around us how to then shape their lives around the kingdom of God. And guess what, church? We've given you a model to do that, the Hope Arrow. Have spiritual conversations. Open up the scriptures and learn Christ. Pray and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Eat with people and go as a sent person wherever you go. Church, we're not just giving you that model because it's a good idea. We're giving it because if we start to do this, we see the ultimate goal of disciples just happen. We go because we don't want you to be content on kingdom seasoning. And I know that even as we say this and even as we talk about this, some of y'all still might be thinking, but you don't know my life. Like, you don't know the things that I do on a daily basis. I'm busy. Like, I've got all kinds of stuff to do. Well, guys, the scripture again, it tells us that that's okay. Look at verse 19. It says, when that command go, it means as you go. It doesn't mean pick up and leave. It just means as you go. So as you go to work, as you go to school, students, kids, as you go to your soccer games, you go to your kids' football practices, as you go on vacation, as you go to Walmart to do your grocery shopping, as you go to the gas station to pump your gas, you go intentionally with the sake and with the purpose of making disciples. We are not asking you to add the kingdom of God to your busy schedule. We are saying take your schedule and make it about the kingdom of God. Make it centered and focused on this one thing and see the kingdom of God explode around you. Do you see how we've overcomplicated this? Like, again, I'm not saying that when people get saved that we don't need to plug them into a church. Again, we need to do that, of course. Get them plugged in. But church, we've got to stop relying on the trained professionals as the sole source of kingdom living. You have been called and invited and commissioned to make your life about the kingdom of God. And as you do that, disciples are made. And I love the Great Commission because the Great Commission was not given to trained pastors. In Acts, it says that the Great Commission was given to untrained, ordinary men. Take comfort in that, church, because that's us. We have oversimplified the goal because we have way overcomplicated the process. So I want to give you two examples of how when we really just grab hold of this model and we begin to grab hold of making kingdom living first actually works. So I'm going to give you two examples. And the first, I want to tell you about a conversation with my wife that we had about a year ago, right? And I've asked her permission to do this, so I'm not just like throwing her under the bus and then running her over, all right? Like, she's given me permission to tell you all this conversation. The conversation about this Hope Arrow really actually started with the staff about a year or two ago. We were talking about, it's Drew Causey's baby. This was his idea and it was his goal and we loved it and so we're running with it. And I remember coming home and I was excited and me and Kayla were talking about it and I was telling her about it and she was just like, "Logan, I don't think we can ask the church to do this." And it kind of took me back and I was like, "Okay, well, tell me why." And she said, "Well, people are busy." Like, this is asking a lot of people to add these conversations and to add these extra times of eating with people and to add these extra times of prayer and opening. Like, it's just a lot on people. And we even talked about how in our own schedule and in our own lives, like, we sometimes get so busy that we don't even get to eat together, much less bringing other people into the conversation and bringing other people to our home and cooking dinner for them. So I stopped and I listened. I said, "Okay, let me ask you a couple questions." She said, "All right." I said, do you eat lunch every day? Yeah, I eat lunch every day. So where do you eat lunch? In the staff room. Okay. Who do you eat with? Staff and other teachers. So do you do that every day? Yeah. I said, well, Caleb, the E in the Hope Arrow stands for eat with people 2 times a week. You're eating with people 5. Just make it about the kingdom. And the light bulb went off. She was like, oh, I get that. I get that. Like, I don't have to add the Hope Arrow. I could just, my schedule is about this. I'm just doing the kingdom where I am. And let me tell you, as she has gotten that, and she has been grabbing hold of this model. And I can tell you, this school year alone, it's only been in for a few weeks already. We've had 2 of her teacher friends over at our home for dinner. She has been having great conversations with them on a daily basis. And she has even begun to think of ways that she can put the logos of the orphanages that we sponsor around her room so that students will look at them, ask her questions, and she can then have conversations about the kingdom of God with her students. You see how simple this is. Like, Kayla's making disciples simply because she chose to make her life about the kingdom of God. It's not that complicated. And then another example I want to give you to show you how just easy this is to really bring in Chuck Austin. And Chuck's up here, he's playing guitar over here. And again, when we were first having this conversation, he was like, Logan, the hardest part for me is going to be opening up the scripture. I don't have a lot of time to do that unless I get up super early or I do it before I go to bed, in which case I'm in a bad mood and I don't want to read anyway. So what did Chuck do? Chuck went and bought himself an audio Bible. And so when he goes to work, he just plugs in that audio Bible and he listens to the scriptures being read to him as he goes. And when he gets to work, guess what? He's having conversations with his coworkers. He's praying at his desk and listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit around him. He's eating with people that he wouldn't normally eat with, and he is blessing people in ways that he's not been able to bless them with. As you go. Church, we need to stop oversimplifying the goal and stop overcomplicating the process. The goal is to make disciples. And when you fashion your own life around the kingdom of God, discipleship happens. It happens. We're no longer relying solely on the church to do what God has fully equipped you to do. Let's read one more passage of scripture before we kind of wrap things up. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I love this scripture. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, what if I told you that the greater goal of making disciples really is as simple as trusting that the King of the universe, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, is building his own church. We just need to join him in that work. What if I told you that this really is as simple, church, as paying attention to where God is already at work around you and then joining him simply by conforming your life around a model of kingdom living? Church, when we do this, we're not getting seasoning anymore. We get the meal, and it's good. It's awesome. Don't leave here today content with just kingdom seasoning. Don't leave here today content with just, I just want the kingdom on my Sundays and my Wednesdays. Let's make our lives about the kingdom of God, and let's see discipleship happen as Christ built his church. I'm gonna give an invitation. First of all, I wanna invite you, if you in here have never surrendered your life to Christ, scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as sinners, it says that we are separated from God and condemned. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ die for us. He sent his own son, Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless, spotless lamb. And he bore the weight of our sin on his own shoulders on a cross, took the punishment we deserved, died the death that we deserved. He was buried 3 days in the ground, and on the third day, Jesus rose, conquering the reigns of sin and death forever. And he promises you, you give your life and faith and salvation to him, he will give you forgiveness, and you will be called a citizen of the kingdom of God. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, will you come and be saved this morning? You give your life to Jesus and trust this amazing, awesome God who's building his church and his kingdom all around you. The second invitation is for those of us in here who still may have felt uneasy or maybe even overwhelmed by all the things we've been talking about. Maybe you're sitting in here and you're thinking, you know what? I've been living off kingdom seasoning and I'm ready for the meal. If that's you, then come up here. We're going to have counselors up here at the front. Come and talk to them. Confess that to them. Or just come and pray. Confess it to the Lord and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to make everything I am about the kingdom of God. I'm ready to make disciples. I'm ready to see this happen. I invite you to come and do that. And the last invitation is up here we have the bread and the cup. Bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for us, and the cup represents his blood spilled for us. Come up here and take the bread, dip it into the cup, and remember his sacrifice. Thank him that he has called you a citizen of the kingdom of God and an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're building your church. I thank you that when we conform our lives to the kingdom of God, when we make our lives about you, that discipleship happens. I thank you, Lord, that we just need to join you in the work that you are up to all around us every single day, wherever we are, wherever we go, with whoever we're with. I thank you, Jesus, that you have empowered us with your Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do alone. And I pray over our church this morning, Lord. I pray that they will leave this place ready for the fullness that you have to offer us. That they leave this place looking to make much of you, to make disciples, to see your kingdom come. Jesus, we love you and trust you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand. Tucker and team are going to lead us in worship. Let's stand. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, will you come?